Over the surface of the sky extended a feathery white film of vapor. Over the surface of the sky extended a feathery white film of vapor. The effect of this filmy screen upon the sun was to make it seem as if it shone through a roof of water. This vaporous film reduced the sun rays to so mild a diffusion that they ceased to be rays. The sun's orb thus shorn of its outpouring of radiance came to resemble the disk of the moon.
A reading life, a writing life, with writer and teacher Sally Bailey.
The birds are very chatty this morning. Very chatty. Very chatty indeed. I think they're pleased. They're pleased that the air is finally warming up. They can ruffle out their feathers. They can ruffle out their feathers. Meanwhile, I'm standing by my window in my little kitchen area of my boat, Cerrion, meaning beloved in Welsh, reading a few paragraphs from A Glastonbury Romance by Cooper Powys. John Cooper Powys. I'm still on that epic trek towards Salisbury Plain, towards Glastonbury. And there are a couple of paragraphs that have drawn my eye because they are so highly visual. They read like paintings. And I've been thinking a lot about visual language and visual writing this week, after I discussed my own work yesterday at Wolfson College here in Oxford with my student from Sicily, Eleonora, who's writing on my work, which feels most peculiar. Most peculiar, said my grandmother. Really, it's most peculiar. But back to my paragraphs, which of course, because it's an English novel, discuss the weather. On this particular day, the weather conditions had assumed a cloud pattern, an air pressure, a perspective of light and shadow such as dwellers in Glastonbury recognised as more natural and normal than any other. I always read the first paragraph, the first sentence of the first paragraph, which I'm focusing on, at least once or twice, because I think of the first sentence of a paragraph as an entry point, a portal, a way in. And I very much see writing as something that exists in three-dimensional space. The door must open, like the window in front of me on my boat, the shutters. One of my wooden shutters is open, and I can see the green stinging nettles and the dark green ivy clinging to the stump of the willow tree, and I can see the purple, what are those flowers? Tiny violets, periwinkles, clinging to the tree stump. On this particular day, the weather conditions had assumed a cloud pattern. I like that a lot. I let the images come in my mind. The weather conditions. My voice has a weather condition. My voice has a weather condition. It comes and goes like showers. On this particular day, the weather conditions had assumed a cloud pattern, comma, an air pressure, comma, a perspective of light and shadow, such as dwellers in Glastonbury recognised as more natural and normal than any other. Now you hear that cadence as we go over the part of the sentence which involves the dwellers in Glastonbury recognising as more natural and normal than any other. Which is to say the weather conditions. And the sentence rises and falls as we go over the plural noun, dwellers in Glastonbury, recognising something, recognising the weather conditions. I'll read the next sentence. Over the surface of the sky extended a feathery white film of vapour. Over the surface of the sky extended a feathery white film of vapour. The effect of this filmy screen upon the sun was to make it seem as if it shone through a roof of water. The effect of this filmy screen upon the sun was to make it seem as if it shone through a roof of water. So those images of the sky, which has a surface, it has a surface of feathery white film of vapour, which produces the effect of a filmy screen upon the sun, which results in something like a roof of water which shines, or shone. It shines. It shone. And so all the effects here are those of light and shape and texture. Feathery white film of vapour, filmy screen upon the sun, seemed as if it shone through a roof of water. And remember what we're discussing here, what we're being given to look at, to see, are the cloud patterns. And then it continues with the sun. As a matter of fact, this vaporous film reduced the sun rays to so mild a diffusion that they ceased to be rays. The sun's orb thus shone, and I read that as shone, but it's actually shorn. The sun's orb thus shorn, like sheep are shorn, of its outpouring of radiance, came to resemble the disk of the moon. The sun's orb thus shorn of its outpouring of radiance came to resemble the disk of the moon. So the author has pushed the image of the sun away and replaced it with that of the moon, and it is like a small visual drama which is opening up through this vaporous film. And it feels and films to me. It films in my mind's eye, like a little play or a little piece of cinema. A mini reel, R-E-E-L, a reel or a spool of film playing out through the cloud patterns. A drama of light and shadow. The sun's orb thus shorn of its outpouring of radiance came to resemble the disk of the moon. And then the drama gets larger, the visual drama explodes and opens up, and the language becomes more expansive and more abstract. The great luminary, with a capital L, the great luminary was so reduced by this film of clouds. See how we keep with the same language, the film of clouds? The great luminary was so reduced by this film of clouds that, like Agamemnon in the toils of Clytemnestra, always good to have a few Greeks poking out through the clouds, a few naughty Greeks, like Agamemnon in the toils of Clytemnestra, it could hardly be said to shine at all. It peered helplessly forth over the green meadows of Avalon, so that stubborn Christian spirits such as Matt Decker, Matt is the local vicar, man of the church, had the satisfaction of being able to confront the Great Light Lord, the Great Light Lord, capital L, capital L, capital L, and stare him full in the face without blinking. I'll read that part again because it becomes rather dramatic and explosive and full of capital letters. The great luminary, capital L, was so reduced by this film of clouds that light Agamemnon, capital A, in the toils of Clytemnestra, capital C, because it does matter what happens visually as we read. Capital letters take us aback a little. They're formal, they signify formal nouns, names, people, events, places, history. The Greeks. Like Agamemnon in the toils of Clytemnestra, it could hardly be said to shine at all. The great luminary, that is. The sun, which has been shorn of its outpouring of radiance. It peered helplessly forth over the green meadows of Avalon, capital A. One of the words that Cooper Powell uses for this part of England, Avalon. So that stubborn Christian, capital C, stubborn Christian spirits such as Matt Decker, capital M, capital D, had the satisfaction of being able to confront the Great Light Lord, two capital L's, and stare at him full in the face, without blinking. So it's a moment of confrontation. Matt Decker confronting the Great Light Lord, the Great Luminary, the sun, the disk of the moon. Because the sun and the moon, of course, are relatives. In the day, at least, one replaces the other. And this language of confrontation, it produces a large visual event, a dramatic play. And this entire paragraph can be read like a visual event, like a piece of cinema, like a film. A short filmed story. And it begins with the language of the day and the language of storytelling. On this particular day, the weather conditions had assumed a cloud pattern. So we start with the diurnal, the cycle of the sun and the moon crossing the sky. And we end with the human figure of Matt Decker peering helplessly forth over the green meadows at what Cooper Powell calls the Great Light Lord. The sun which has been shorn of its radiance, its rays, so that by the end of the paragraph, this brief story, cinematic narrative, the sun has become the moon, the night has become the day. And it's a perfect example of how a writer can hold tightly down in one not particularly long paragraph, an entire drama, a heightened visual event, a little film, a little play, which reaches back to the toils of Clytemnestra and Agamemnon, classical Greek figures emerging from the clouds. My grandmother always saw figures and shapes in the clouds, and she taught me to do the same. I've always watched the clouds and waited for the figures to come out. And the sun, of course. And we have been sun-deprived, we people of Avalon, and our green meadows are mulching with rain and mud. but right now as I speak to you, I'm turning my head to look at the faint patches of light upon my little sofa bed. A watery, pale blue cover, and upon that pressed a very faint rectangle of thin sunlight. The sun may not be coming out with his hat on today, as we used to sing as children. The sun has got his hat on. Hip, 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 hooray! I think we all need to sing that song just a little bit harder. If we're going to experience that outpouring of radiance, which Cooper Powell speaks of here in the Glastonbury Romance, or a Glastonbury Romance, I should say. I like that idea of confronting the radiance of the sun. The human eye watching and waiting for that great outpouring, which at the moment in this novel is being eclipsed because of the weather conditions, which had assumed a cloud pattern, an air pressure, a perspective of light and shadow, which the dwellers in Glastonbury recognised as more natural and normal than any other. Glastonbury, Avalon, Oxford.
Thank you for listening to A Reading Life, A Writing Life.